Gary Meyer, WGN, as Steve mentioned, you can't mention it enough. It's the big AMer out of Chicago, 50,000 watts, lighting up the entire Midwest. And I was talking earlier about how Saturday night the president came on only on NBC. Well, he came on. They were the only ones that cover it on a network basis. And I got this text at 24/7/20. It says, when Whitney Houston died, there was an interruption in programming. It scared me half to death. I almost sent the kids out of the room in case it was real bad news. They interrupted for that?
No, she was a delicate flower.
It was a Saturday night, as I recall. So
okay, really but...
slow news day.
How slow? As
Whitney that, slow.
That's very slow. And then I was talking about seeing Charles Dickens' The Christmas Carol last night, and there were some changes in that Tiny Tim and the Cratchits got Obamacare, and he was able to get his legs fixed because they rejected him before for the pre-existing condition. So that was something new.
So your one caller would say NBC would have broken in with that, too. So it was good news for Obama.
Yes, they were. Would. Could. What did you say? I don't know what you're saying.
The caller earlier said that, well, it's not worth it now, but he's,
right.
Yeah, he said
were
that,
the Cratchits able to log on to the website? How did they do
well,
that?
Well, the first part of the play, they had difficulties, and they were getting frustrated. And then in the last part of the play, they
well,
got
Scrooge
on.
Gave them his tablet.
And they were able to,
there
yeah,
you go.
Because it was real frustrating for Bob.
Now, they're
early.
Not from Kentucky, are they? Because it's working really well in Kentucky, the online stuff has been.
God bless us, everyone. The beauty of the cast is it's all mixed. Like Tiny Tim this year is an Eskimo, and Mrs. Cratchit.
Is he really an Eskimo? Because there's a picture in the paper. It looks like he's Indian.
Okay, maybe he was Indian. Eskimo. No, okay, but well, they do try to. It's a
oh,
melting
great.
Pot.
Say they all look alike. Why don't you?
It's a melting pot. The whole family is Asian, black, which is good, black, could be Middle Eastern.
So it's basically the Angelina Jolie story.
Yes, that's exactly right.
The pits.
Wow. Imagine tomorrow if we're heading this way into Thanksgiving, how ragtag.
Well, Angelina Jolie is not even easy to say.
How ragtaggy this is going to be.
When you don't have some, you know, liquor.
Parents can now treasure pictures of their newborn babies in photo frames made using the mother's placenta. Amanda Cotton has found a way of adding dried and crushed pieces of placenta to molds filled with clear casting resin to create marble effect frames and is already receiving orders from parents. Ms. Cotton uses the entire placenta to make a frame, first boiling and cooking it, and then grinding it into small pieces. In fact, that's what the Cratchits did. That was their cottage industry in the play last night. They made placenta frames. They had the whole family working it before placing it into a mold with resin and other materials.
It was better than the Christmas pudding.
It really was. This placenta frame, Bob, I think we got something here. Because Tiny Tim can do it sitting down, which is good.
And she had about, what, three or four kids? So she had a lot of placentas hanging around.
Yeah, I think there were at least four, maybe five.
Three girls, two boys.
Yeah. And the placenta has become quite the talked about item in the last few years. You see all this placenta stuff. Maybe we can do this with it. We can make a jumping rope out of it. I don't know what the attraction is, but apparently some people want the placenta.
Well, it's an outgrowth of recycling. We don't like to waste.
But there's a lot of different stuff that they can do with it, I guess. It's like hemp. It's had its moment as it's just what it was
placenta
originally.
Placenta suit? What are you, Lady
it's
Gaga?
The hemp of childbirth.
Yes, right. And now there's so many things. It might have some kind of sustainable floor property. You know how they have bamboo as your sustainable wood? This thing is becoming as sustainable as anything else.
Well, people do but eat it.
It's the equivalent yeah. of those pop-ups on the internet. This will mean that you never have to diet again. Nobody's proven that a placenta does much of anything except protect a baby when it was still in utero.
Okay, well, now it's a nice picture frame.
Well, I didn't think that Leslie would be so anti-placenta.
I'm fine. Show me some actual science, and I'll be all over it. All right. I'm the only one in this room who created one, by the way.
And where's yours?
And where's
now?
Yours? We have ours.
What?
What? I don't have mine.
Ask him to point to his placenta,
you didn't
Gary.
Keep yours?
Back
it's like the appendix, isn't it?
I don't think
back
placenta
in that day,
means what you think it means.
The mother could smoke and drink during birth. they didn't have any of the restrictions or warnings they have now, let alone, hey, save the placenta. It makes a great holiday gift. Everything was bing, bang, boom. You got to stay in the hospital for 5 days. But beyond that, everything else was just, hey, whatever. Just go in, have the kid, hang out, go home.
They didn't really keep it back then, did they?
I don't think so. I never heard about that until the last, I don't know, 10, 15 years, I started hearing this placenta talk.
They didn't make frames out of it.
That was a great radio show.
The placenta talk?
Right. That's east of midnight here.
24/7.
They got a big boost out of the whole stem cell research, right?
All news, all placenta, all day.
All day.
Placenta
on the
8th. That's all they say.
We'll tell you what to do with your placenta on the 8th.
Is that an instant placenta?
Every 10 minutes.
We're live, we're local, we're placenta.
We're placenta. This is an opportunity.
Hop onto the phones.
Let's seize it.
We'll dash onto the phones now.
And now,
talk about placentas.
Now, what are you doing with yours this holiday season? Some people are doing it in a stocking stuffer mode.
Jim thinks he made his.
He thinks he still has his. Maybe we can wrap it around the Christmas tree base with the little train.
Make ornaments.
I'm sure Martha Stewart's already tried that.
Go.
That's a good thing.
Or at least some napkin holders.
Again, Stewart's cornered that market. You know she has.
Now take the placenta.
Take it.
Cut it. Quarter it.
Quarter it. Put some resin on it. Let it dry. Have some eggnog. Come back. Cut it up. And you've got decorations.
You can almost jerky it. Placenta jerky.
Now you've stepped over a line.
She used to do traffic here.
I learned this placenta recipe in prison in West Virginia.
Hey, is there somebody in the sports department? I'm seeing these texts that they're saying that Cutler is out for the year, too. Is that true? Jim?
Yeah, how about the placenta stuffing for the turkey? Kind of a mother and child reunion.
There's an idea. The placenta making, I don't know if it's a comeback, but making its way into different areas. This woman is making picture frames out of placentas. And then you got your baby's picture in the middle of the placenta. That's cute.
It's cute. Well, now I know what to get you for your birthday.
Thank you. Appreciate
it. Imagine them taking that to school for show and tell. Ugh. That's too much telling.
Do we have a sports department at all? Is there anybody? I thought I saw Mark in there.
Yeah, he's around. They're going to get around.
Have you heard anything about this?
It was on the
Steve,
news.
I'm just looking at some of the feeds, and it looks like Cutler's calling people out for saying that, so I'm not sure yet. I'm trying to track it down.
All right.
Hey, we're doing okay. Well, I guess we didn't do so well this week, but
No, it's a mess all the way around. Blackhawks, that's all we have right now to hang our hat on. They're still chugging along very nicely.
That's all we have had for several
that's
years.
That's true. And we've got a game on tonight. Check it out. Pre-game at 8 o'clock. And then John and Troy calling all the action right after that. 312-981-7200, the number here into the studio. How would you like to look like George Clooney? Gary Tate has made some easy money as a professional George Clooney lookalike. He looks so much like the actor that a Clooney fan once offered him $8,000 to have carnal knowledge with his wife.
Whoa.
The indecent proposal came from a rich London businessman who wanted to give his wife a very special present. When I asked why he would want me to do that, he said, "We have an open relationship. She's mad about Clooney. I can't get him, so I'm asking you." When I turned him down, he upped the offer to $8,871. That's an odd sum, isn't it?
He's pulling in his pockets, looking for change. This is all I got, man.
I was single at the time, so I wouldn't have hurt anyone by doing it. It just felt so wrong that I turned it down. He first became a Clooney copycat in 1997, but things really took off in 98 when he won a newspaper contest. Now, I'm looking at a picture of this guy.
You don't think he looks like him?
Not that much.
That's him?
That's the one.
Doesn't look like him at all.
No.
I wouldn't even think that. I wouldn't have even guessed George Clooney.
I'd say take all the money you're being offered, because that's a stretch that you look like George Clooney.
Maybe he has the gray hair, but
okay, a lot of people have gray
hair. Yeah, I know. I'm just saying because the face isn't doing it.
George Clooney. Mark Carmen, are you in your cubicle?
I'm here, Gary. I got some gray hair, too, by the way.
And what is this Cutler thing?
Well, it depends on who you talk to, apparently. Jay's got some concerns about a ligament. Mark Trestman says that he's confident. He said today he's confident he's going to play at some point this year. What we do know is that it's highly unlikely that he'll play against the Vikings this week, so you can pretty much rule him out. Does that answer anything?
All right, but this, I've been getting texts for about an hour now saying that it's being reported here and there that he's out for the season.
Yeah, but that is not, the Bears have not confirmed that. I've seen that in numerous places, and we've thought that that was a significant possibility a couple of weeks ago, but the Bears have not said that. So anyone who's saying that has inside information that certainly I don't have. It's possible. I wouldn't be surprised. But Trestman said today, if you take him at his word, he's extremely confident he's going to play this year. So I don't know how anybody could really confidently say that he's not going to.
Derrick Rose is out for the season, though. That's a given.
That's too bad. That is very, very unfortunate. The guy worked incredibly hard to get back, and the Bulls are going to be extremely...
Why can't he go out there in leg braces? Is that illegal? Is that against the rules?
Like a Forrest Gump look?
Run, Derek, run.
Come on. We want our Rose. Rise.
Hey, if he could go out there like that, he would go out there like that, despite the fact that many people think that Derek is soft because he didn't return as quickly as some thought he should have last year. I'm sure if he could wear the Forrest Gump brace, he would do it.
So he's out all this season. Then he comes back, right?
In October again.
He'll be back, and the roster is going to look a lot different. It's going to be a totally different team.
They're still rebuilding from when Jordan and Pippen left 15 years ago.
Well, I guess. They had this roster that was going to challenge, and it just didn't work out health-wise. So now you've got Alual Deng, who's going to be a free agent. Be surprised if he's back. And then you've got Carlos Boozer, who's got 1 year left they could possibly get rid of. And you got some other parts you probably might want to consider moving to upgrade the roster as well, if something makes sense.
Are we under some kind of sports curse right now, except for the Blackhawks? We got problems, right?
Aren't we kind of always under that curse?
Yeah, we are. What is that curse? Why do we have it?
It's hard to win. It's especially hard here. We have 85 in the Bears. We've got the six Bulls. We've got the Blackhawks of 2010 and 13. We got a White Sox in 05. And then we've got a 1908 that we don't like to speak about.
Yeah, but for a city this size, you would think we'd crank out more, don't you?
I would. I absolutely would. I do.
Good. Keep that spirit. You need it.
No problem, Gary.
This is the G. Text me at 24720. Fans of popular TV series such as The Sopranos and Breaking Bad go into collective mourning when they reach the end of their run. Researchers found viewers grieve when a show reaches its conclusion or a popular character dies in a similar way. They would mourn the loss of a close friend or relative. They analyze consumer collectives, focusing on TV programs and what happens when a main character is killed off or the show is canceled. Researchers spent 10 years studying how people responded to the cancellation or conclusion of popular television shows, including shows like The Sopranos and All My Children. They found that fans felt most upset and wanted closure when they felt a story had more to give or had an unsatisfactory ending. When a narrative or brand came to a more believable end, they were less upset. Previous studies have shown that people form subcultures around the brands and shows that they love.
Well, sure. I mean, there's, especially today now, everybody gets online and there's little discussion groups.
Some community we've established. That's about all we have now because we don't talk otherwise. The researchers say that when a show comes to an end, the thing that is truly lost is the sociality that surrounds the brand rather than the brand itself. Hey, we got something to talk about. Now we got nothing.
I used to like coming in on Monday and talking about the Sopranos episode with people.
You know, I like having a Sunday night staple because that is no man's land.
Yeah.
After 60 minutes, and if you want to watch another football game, I don't know, but then you're adrift. Have you gone around the dial?
You don't have a go-to on Sunday?
What is it?
I watch
Homeland on Sunday.
Yeah,
yeah.
I watch Homeland.
I've seen it. I'm not gaga about it, so... I know Boardwalk Empire and all those others are out there.
It just ended yesterday. Was this season ended? No. And I really didn't. I watched it and sort of didn't. I sort of recorded it and then fast forwarded and saw if there was anything good happening. It And it's going to be another season.
I like those shows like The Sopranos and Mad Men. Those seem to fit the bill that I like. And they were on Sundays, so that was perfect. See, Sunday. And if you're not a Homeland fan, what else is there?
Well, the one show that you always seem to reference every week is Modern Family. You always ask,
that's
did you see
the middle
Modern
of the
Family?
Week. Yeah, I got something for Wednesday. That's all I got. John, what do you got?
Hey, you guys probably remember this. This is even before you mentioned, you know, people don't talk to each other. You know, MASH, when that went off the air, I can still remember the morning it was going on when that came to an end. So I can even remember that last episode, how pretty sad it was there. So.
Is that still the highest viewed TV show, or are there some Super Bowls that have eclipsed it since? It's time. Right. It was the highest ever. 100 and some million people watched the final episode of MASH, which, unless, like I said, it's a Super Bowl, you're not going to see that for any TV program. Although the Fire of Hunger did very well over the weekend.
161 million.
Yeah, and that's not even a record. Iron Man 3 did better than that.
Well, there are still two more Hunger Games movies to come.
Oh, so. There's four?
Well, I do believe they're taking the last book and splitting it
they're
into
they're
going to
keep
films.
Making these things. They'll make them up.
I bet they'll make they more
to,
now. They're going
to
split
have to have any book. This thing's got real legs.
Well, if Ender's Game had done better, that has that something like
franchise.
27
yeah,
books
yeah, but it
in
didn't,
there.
So that's no. not going to go anywhere.
And you don't do Game of Thrones, right?
No, I didn't get into that either. Mm-hmm. I know I should have, right?
Well, it's pretty cool.
Okay.
But if you don't, but to your point, if you didn't in that one, I didn't get into it right away. Then I caught up after the first season and a half, and even I still don't. There's some moments when I'm like, where are they? Who are they talking about? So if you didn't, you'd have to binge watch 3 or 4 seasons to get into.
It's just too much. There's too much. Even if you started recording these things, when do you find time to motor through them?
And know that if you binge watch a whole, TV series, you get even more sad at the end because it's more like watching a movie, and it's all compressed. And now when somebody dies, it's like, what?
Downton Abbey is on Sundays.
Yeah, don't you watch Downton?
I haven't seen it.
What are you watching?
I don't know what I'm
what
doing.
What are you doing on Sunday?
I don't know what's going on
what's
anymore.
What's going on Sunday? Where do you go?
I've lost my way. I don't know what I'm doing.
I know you watch 60 Minutes because you talk about that. What do you do at 7:15?
That's when I'm adrift.
Bedtime.
I'm adrift. Although we've had things to do after 60 Minutes the last few Sundays, so we've gone out, which
but I'm talking about months.
I know.
September.
I know.
You don't watch Once Upon a Time?
No.
The fairy tale thing?
No.
No.
The Walking Dead. There's another one
Walking
I know
Dead.
Has a lot of talk.
Masters of Sex?
No.
No.
Jeez. Why watch it when you live it?
Oh. Nurse Jackie?
No.
No.
Nurse Jackie.
Nurse Jackie. That's good too, right?
That is good. Yeah.
Did you
but I don't know what
it
is. I can't explain the formula, but The Sopranos fit it perfectly, and Mad Men fit it, what I like. But that doesn't translate to The Walking Dead and these other shows, right? It's a different animal.
You should. I still think there's time for you to get into Downton Abbey if you wanted to.
All right, I'll try that.
Because that's on Sunday nights, like 8 o'clock. It'll be perfect in January.
I'm sorry, I did not see that at all.
Here's how sick it's gotten. The Game Show Network, they'll run like 8-10 episodes of Family Feud back
that's
to back.
What you're
and I'm sitting there going, I'm going to watch one more. I got to go to the lightning round at the end. I got to see what they're going to say.
So you can
name something that if you're so busy, you forget to do. And the guy said, go to work or brush your teeth.
Watch Downton Abbey.
Can you get through any host or are you partial to a certain host?
I'll tell you, I like Steve Harvey all right, but. The one who's the worst was that Richard Karn.
Home Improvement. Yeah,
he was. He's the worst.
So you didn't like him?
No, but I'll take the other ones.
So it's you like Louis?
They don't show him very often.
Oh, really?
Not the ones I've seen. But it's the questions and these stupid answers. That's the payoff pitch. So that's where I'm going. Family Feud. Marathon.
It's a perennial. It's that and Lou, or Ray, Gar, and Bose.
Yeah, hosted by our own Dean Richards Sunday. He claims it's going to wipe the competition off the earth on Sunday night. It does.
It's the Hunger Games of television.
It's what he says. He says, this thing, you put anything up against it, it will smoke it. I can't believe that. This, when I see that show, I really...
It is funny, though.
What's funny? What is funny about Hard Rock and Coco? And
well, no, that's nostalgia. It's like, you know, you like...
But they do show this one skit in that episode of from Bozo where they do a takeoff on Goldilocks and the Three Bears. And they go completely off the script, and Bozo's actually making some kind of double entendre jokes, and it's pretty fun. And they're laughing, so it's kind of funny.
Okay, and that's all of 8 minutes? That's a two-hour show.
So yeah, but then you got Chelveston like biting Ray Rayner. Yeah.
I don't know. It all looks so dated.
Well, it is. Oh,
I know, but I understand. No. Now, wait a minute. Now, when I watch Black and White Andy Griffith, I'm fine with it. But this, it looks like it was made in the 17th century.
Well, the production values weren't that high at the beginning.
Well, they even went cheaper than what was available, I believe. They thought, we don't want to pay that even. We're going to go as cheap as we can.
Well, I don't know. If I were you, I would not disparage my fellow Hall of Famers.
Who?
You are in the same...
Chelveston.
You and Chelveston and Gar. Maybe it's going to be Gar, Bose, yeah, and Ray
and Hard
next
Rock
year.
Yeah.
You're all in the Hall of Fame.
Great.
Right now, you walk in, I go see a puppet, and then I see...
And then you see Garfield Goose. You see me, and you see Garfield. Right, Mike?
You should put a little cliff in there.
Okay. Thank you. Mike?
Yep.
What up?
What's going on? Am I on?
I hope so. It's
all
not
right,
legal until January, but go ahead.
All right. I'm in the middle of New Mexico. I'm from Chicago. I'm familiar with the blower. Put on my preset number one, and who do I hear? You and Bubba Bibble.
That's good, right?
No, it's incredible. How
yes
did that happen? I tried calling you a couple minutes ago, and my phone didn't even have service.
See, this is what I'm talking about with the technology we have now. When you watch Gar and Rock and Joe and whatever that thing is, it looks like it's a million years old. What are you doing in New Mexico?
Kevin Cross.
Crystal Meth Lab, I think he said. 312-981-7200. Tom, you're on. What's up?
Yeah, I was wondering if you've seen the new Republican running for governor. His first name is Bruce. I'm not sure of his last name, but he is a true Ray Rayner clone. He's got everything but the duck and the little post-its on his shirt.
Is he the guy that said Quinn? What did he say? That Quinn? He has a TV commercial going right now, right?
Yeah, he does. He's on quite a bit, but he's to me, he's a ringer, you know. But
yeah, he does look like.
Keep an eye out.
I will. He does look like Double R. I think Governor Quinn has really screwed things up, and I'm here to tell you, I'm going to straighten it all out.
He wears like a little vest, like a fleece or something.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah. I didn't think of it as a Ray Rayner look-alike, but he does. He just needs those post-it notes, and he's on his way. Someone broke into Seattle's historic Comet Tavern and took hundreds of dollars of bills off the ceiling. For decades, patrons had pinned dollar bills on the ceiling. And then they started to renovate the bar. Somebody broke in and took all of the dollar bills off the ceiling. Said it would have taken a couple hours to do this. What did you expect? I mean, when you got people coming into rehab, number one, you think they're not going to grab a few? They would have had to have brought a ladder with them, too, because the ceiling is at least 20 feet high. And the ladders used for renovation didn't go that high. Well, you've seen these bars. They have different stuff hanging from the ceiling.
But cash.
Yeah. Cash is king.
Let's go.
You're just antagonizing people. Go ahead. Go up and get it if you can. Mark?
There's a cool... Oh,
wait. What?
There's a cool bar in Wisconsin where you put a thumbtack on your hand and you press a dollar bill on it and you flip it up and it sticks to the ceiling and it's covered in hundreds of dollars.
What are you, David Blaine?
Say that again.
You put a thumbtack in the middle of your palm with the sharp side up.
Yes.
And you slap a dollar bill over that. And then they do a trick where they, like, hit it. You know how boys used to stick toilet paper to the ceiling in the bathroom? They do that with dollar bills and make them stick in the ceiling. And the ceiling is covered in hundreds of dollars.
Wow. Okay. And David Blaine last week on that special, he did a thing with a card. He licked the card, and then he blew it up to the ceiling, and it stuck up there.
Ricky Gervais was just...
It doesn't sound like it would be that complicated, but think about it. How could you do that?
Plus, the ceiling was like 10 feet above him. It wasn't a short ceiling.
Right.
And he also did a thing where he took a pointy spike and stuck it through his
needle,
arm. As opposed...
Like a big knitting needle and stuck it through his arm.
That is mental.
There was no blood. Mark, what do you got?
Hey, I wanted to tell you a story about where Chevelston the Dutch name came from for Ray Rayner. During World War II, he was a flight navigator on a B-17 Flying Fortress, a bomber flying out of England, and the town that he was based out of, that base was Chevelston, England. That's where he got the name. Also, I don't know if you realize, he was a World War II hero. He actually saved the life of one of his crew members, and also was a POW during World War II from the Germans. He was in Stalag Luft 3 in Sagan, Poland, digging one of the escape tunnels for the Great Escape.
Oh, yeah?
They were codenamed Tom, Dick, and Harry, and the one that the barracks, with the American barracks, was digging had been discovered. They shipped them out to another POW camp, all those Americans in that barracks, and the one that was being... One of the other two that was being dug by the British was the one that they escaped from, and probably saved his life, because most of those guys wound up getting executed who had escaped and were then recaptured.
Okay, and I think, wasn't Mr. Rogers, or is that urban legend? They said he was a war hero, too.
Donald Pleasence, who, of course, played the forger in the movie The Great Escape, he was an actual POW as well with the British RAF. He was a POW at Stalag Luft 1, where my father-in-law, Casey Paulinski, was interned during the war. And, you know, talk about life imitating art. He wound up acting in the movie later on and acting as a technical advisor as well for the movie.
And I assume that Hogan's Heroes was the offshoot of The Great Escape.
Pretty much.
Because it came out a few years after. And that was a whole, we're going to goof with the Germans.
They're lucky they didn't get caught, because I think Ray had one of those post-its that said, dig tunnel.
Dig tunnel. Dig Dick.
Right on his thing.
Or Dig Harry or Dig Tom. And he had Dig Dick. And they almost busted him on that. Bob?
Yeah.
What do you got?
Oh, hey, Gary. Yeah, I just wanted to let you... I'm going back about an hour or so. But when you were talking about the Concorde, I happened to be at the Seattle Air Museum, which is quite robust. And we got to tour two different aircraft. One was the plane Johnson flew back from Dallas after the JFK thing. And the other thing was a Concorde, and I know you were talking about those. And one of the signs when we're walking through the Concorde very quickly was that they stretch something like 10 to 12 inches in flight, which I found absolutely amazing. And I was wondering if you noticed that when you were on your Concorde flight.
I don't know how I'd notice that. I mean, what would I see that would be stretching?
Well, that's why we all looked at each other and said, that doesn't sound possible.
I mean, but how would I know unless I saw the actual side of the plane stretching? But I never saw that. You know who was on the flight? One of our we flew it three times. Coming back from Paris, Jacques Cousteau was in the front seat. It was basically businessmen and supermodels, but there was Jacques, front seat, taking notes. Yeah, that was pretty cool. The little fishies were all around us. What a great
aircraft. I just wanted to get that in. Thanks to your producer for taking my call.
That's all right.
The show.
Thank you, Bob.
Did he have that little cap on? That little
That stocking cap.
Did he have
it? Yeah, the whole thing. That was.
I Calypso.
You guys, just so you know, they've shut down southbound Lakeshore Drive again.
Because
not again, but yeah, it looks like the vice president is now heading south on Lakeshore.
These guys know how to ingratiate themselves, don't they? I think I'll go in about 5 o'clock. Snowy Monday. Yeah, shut down one of the main arteries. Mark?
Hello.
Hello.
Hi there.
Good.
So I want to clarify that that dollar bill up in Barton, Wisconsin. We actually went up there about 20 years ago. The guy was still doing it. He was the owner. And he would put a half a dollar in the dollar with the tack, and then he'd fold it over so it'd be like a little helicopter. And then he would do that slap of the hand. It would like flutter all the way up into the ceiling. It's thick. And every once in a while, that dollar wouldn't come down, so he'd go back behind the bar and get a special stick and just sort of wiggle it and drop the half dollar back into his hand. So you need a little bit, little technique behind it.
Okay. Did that make any sense? You wrap a half dollar in the dollar and put it...
How could it float?
I don't...
Wouldn't that weigh it down?
No. All right. WGN.